Welcome everyone to the Kanto Cast. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And come on into the casino because we're about to talk all things Star Wars and geek.
So grab a blue milk.
And get some Wampa Jerky.
Pull up with your favorite Tauntaun.
Because we are about to get things started.
You may want to buckle up, baby.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Kanto Cast. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Jason.
I'm going to say, I don't know if he's a guest or, you know, if you want to introduce yourself as a co-host, but yes, we have our longtime co-host and friend back, Jason. He is going to join us for talking about just that epic Season 2 finale we got earlier. I guess that was actually late last week at this point. But with that being said, Jason, how have you been?
I've been hanging in there, just, you know, fortunately, you know, I'm quote, essential, so I've been working pretty much this entire time, so, yeah, I guess I can't complain too much.
Yeah, yep, well, hopefully, yeah, it's been safe, and hopefully, you know, not too bad, as I'm sure everywhere has just been crazy, and hopefully you've been able to find some calmness.
You know, it has its days, you know, where it's like, I can't take this anymore, but...
right. Yeah, I understand. But we do have very good things to talk about in the meantime. So Jeff and I actually briefly hopped on, and we got some good kind of our nerdiness out on his podcast. But here, we might be able to go more in depth, and more importantly, we get to get your opinion as well, because obviously... we haven't been able to have you on to talk for a while, but glad we can make it work. So with that being said, yeah, Jason, what were your thoughts on the finale?
I don't even know where to begin. I mean, this entire season really is just every episode seemed like it was...
Tell us your feelings about the entire season so far.
I think every episode was better than the last, and there wasn't any of those where it's like, oh, well, you know, you could take this episode out and not miss a beat kind of thing, you know, filler episodes. Like, right. You know, even the episode where he's transporting the frog lady, where it was a little bit of a more slower moving one, it still was like, you know, it engrossing. It kept you in the story.
Yeah.
But, it's like I said, I think, you guys know my thoughts on how The Rise of Skywalker and all that stuff. And, you know, I think with how the whole, like, I said it on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, and I said with how the trilogy ended up, like, you know, in my opinion, a little bit of a mess. Like, this Mandalorian, I think, is the best Star Wars thing that they've had since Rogue One. In my opinion. Live action, at least, you know, because that last half of the Clone Wars was just amazing.
Yeah. I think it was the sequel content that everyone was hoping for when Disney, and when I say everyone, I would say, like, you know, the majority, you know, of fans and people who, you know, care about the franchise, I think they wanted to see Luke Skywalker back in action. I think they wanted to see, you know, just to see some events happening after. Of course, what we got in the sequel trilogy with, you know, the characters that we already had, you know, or knew, especially with Luke, it was really interesting. It was something unexpected, and I think even the folks like myself who wasn't a huge fan of that direction, by the time 9 went around, it had already created such an interesting storyline and set up a really, really good episode 9 that, you know, I would agree, I think that, you know, the ending of the sequels was a little bit disappointing. So just to get some more sequel era goodness from this was something really, really special, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think I align with you a lot on that one for sure, Jason. But yeah, if you had to choose a, and I'm just curious, I guess I could guess your favorite, but if you had to choose a favorite and a least favorite episode, what would you think you would go for?
Oh boy, of this season.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite would honestly be the finale, because it just... like, it basically hit the ground running, you know, and it just, I mean, every episode was like that really for me, but just everything that happened in that episode, it was fan service at its greatest, at its most greatest. You know, it gave you everything that you wanted. It gave you the unexpected, because I don't think anybody seriously, when they were talking about which Jedi would respond to Grogu when he reached out, like, you know, people said, oh, maybe it's Luke, but I don't think anybody seriously thought it would be Luke, let alone that we would see him. You laughed.
Yeah, I laughed. People were saying, I'm like, yeah, right, come on. Real. Seriously.
Least favorite, Honestly, whichever episode was like 34 minutes because it was too short. I can't remember what episode that was, but yeah. Honestly, I can't find like really a weak
point.
The very
first episode. No.
Oh, really?
It was the second episode, I think.
Yeah, I think because it was just so short.
Going down, they're supposed to be going up.
The Bo-Katan episode. I think that one was short, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Was that
for me, there was like no weak episode. It was just like I said, if I had to pick a least favorite, it'd probably be the shortest one. So.
yeah, no, that's fair. I definitely see. It's really weird. I think personally that I might like season one. I know it might be controversial, but I actually think I might like season one a tad more than season two.
How dare you?
I think that season two stayed way more consistent, you know. So like, I think like the highs of, you know, season one were just extremely high, but I think it had some like there were some episodes that just weren't up to par to like, you know, season two across the board.
Well, you know, too, and with season one, like there were some episodes where like the gunslinger episode, because I just looked it up, with the bounty hunter who's going after Fennec, that seemed like it was just like a one-off kind of episode, which ended up obviously paying off in this season, you know.
Yeah.
It felt like it was kind of all for nothing whenever we didn't have the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
That one was probably my least favorite of season one, just because I didn't care for that dude at all.
Oh no, I didn't like him at all.
Yeah.
It's like, you're trying to be Han Solo, stop it.
I mean, he was even sitting in the same chair.
I know. I was like, yeah, man, that's not yours.
Yep. And I think, too, one thing I really, really liked, as much fun as it was to have Bo-Katan and Ahsoka and Luke back in season two, I think I just liked how new and original, you know, it was just like kind of something that just hit the ground running and the hype train built around new characters in season one.
It was nice. Yeah, it was nice to have that familiarity, but also have it be, you know, go completely surprising on you, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just that blend was perfect. And I hope that they go back to their season one, you know, kind of feel like that in season three. That's what I'm hoping for, personally.
Which they might. We talked about that the other day. Because you have... What I said was basically a teaser trailer for the Boba Fett series, the end credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
So you got him, he's going to be on his own series at the same time as season three. So I think he's just going to go back to, we're just going to go back and get stories about the Mandalorians, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like season two in a way. Oh, didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, no, that's fine. I was just going to say, like, I wouldn't be surprised if in season three we see a time jump, you know, where it, like, flat, like, jumps for maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised for that, but...
But I was just going to say, I mean, as great as season two was, in a way... It did slightly detract from, like, you know, Mando, because they were springboarding Ahsoka and the Boba Fett show off of, you know, what we saw in, you know, Mando season two. So, well, you know, Mando was still great. I think they did a good job still giving him the attention, you know, that he obviously should have. I was gonna say that. To get some more larger focus on, you know, Fett and Ahsoka for a while. As cool as it was, though, it was really cool.
And, like, they did it so well. Like, they didn't
they did.
Be like, look, here's what you love. You know, we're going to we're gonna shove it down your throat, and you know, you're gonna be like, oh, well, they're gonna spin that off. Like Ahsoka was in one episode.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. She was.
Leave them wanting more. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. And I'm glad they did it too. At the end of the day, because I think with both the Ahsoka and Fett show, I think it's gonna be very high quality and definitely worth everyone's while to tune into.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I know I said this on one of our previous shows, Tristan, but yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of Boba Fett as an adult. As a kid, like I said, yes, cool character. I was all for him as a kid, but then when I started growing up and realizing he didn't do anything in the original trilogy, basically, he just stood there and looked cool. I was like, he just underutilized a cool character. And then when we got the episode, The Tragedy, seeing that badass Boba Fett that I've been wanting to see for like 40 plus years, oh my God. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm a Fett fan again.
Well, you know, that's exactly my argument with Boba Fett forever. It was, I said it after the episode aired, or actually after they, you know, posted about it, because I didn't like to talk about it until Disney Plus posted about it. Then I'm like, well, that's free game now. But right. I said Boba Fett in the movies was always all style, zero substance. This the TV show, like I said, I'm a Boba Fett fan now. I never was. In 38 years of life, I'm like, I don't get the Boba Fett appeal. I don't get it at all. He does nothing but stand there and looks cool. This, it's like, yes, you know, this is the Boba Fett that I love, you know?
I will say this. I did like the end credit scene, sitting there and looking cool. That was the shot of the episode. Oh,
yeah. He definitely, I would say, earned his spot up there to come back and, you know, take out. I've been hearing him called Bib Fat Tuna.
Yeah, right. It's almost like he's trying to be like I gotta start eating. I gotta be like Jabba.
He gained a lot of weight. And I saw 5 years.
I'm sorry.
Oh no! I was gonna say like in 5 years, like he just was Jabba sized when he was you know, pretty normal before.
Yeah, I saw people on Twitter asking, it's like, so when did Bib Fortuna, you know, start pigging out in five? He picked out a lot in 5 years or something like that. When did he start doing that? And my response to one of the guys was right after he ran away from the sail barge.
He sympathy ate because Jabba was dead.
No, I think he was happy. That's why he was a coward and ran away.
Like, there are some very not smart people out there, though, because they're like, I read something that somebody said, this was a nice wrap up to Din Djarin's story. It's nice that we're going to have season 3 focus on Boba Fett. And it's like, no, people, that's a completely different show. Yeah.
They even gave you the title of the show, people. Come on.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, you people, not very smart.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually never even saw it interpreted as that. So that, yeah, that must have been
I didn't interpret that as, oh my God, the Mandalorian season 3 is going to be the Mandalorian, the Book of Boba Fett. No, I never thought that.
I just interpreted it as, okay, we have like 9 new Star Wars shows. Well, nope, now we have 10. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that would bring the total to 11 if you include movies, right?
Yeah.
Or is there 2 movies? No, there is 2, because you have Rogue Squadron, and then you have Taika Waititi's.
Taika Waititi's, yeah.
They just call it the Taika movie for now.
And the further we get, then the last news we get, that Rian Johnson trilogy is never going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think it's gonna happen.
They haven't officially, you know, canceled it.
Canceled it, but they haven't mentioned word one about it.
Yeah, they have not said anything about it. And I think wasn't it originally a collaboration with him and D&D?
No, they were gonna have 2 separate trilogies.
Yeah, they were gonna have their own.
Okay, so they
and
really
that went away too.
Yeah, see, now the. Yeah, I like how you call them the D&D guys. Yeah, because I keep forgetting what are the Game of Thrones dudes? Because I never watched
that. Well, D&D. They go by D&D.
Denisoff and whatever the
other. Oh, that's the other why they call him D&D. Okay, I thought it was real.
No.
See, that's D&D to me.
Yeah.
That's because you're old, but... Jeff.
I know.
Ooh, well, I don't know. D&D is alive and well, I would say.
Well, yeah, I know. Like it's come back. It's like a resurgence.
Stranger Things. But yeah, those guys. I was happy when their series went away because, one, I never watched their show. Their show never appealed to me. I saw a couple scenes and trailers for Game of Thrones, and I was like, that is definitely not for me. And I was like, and I don't want to see that brought into Star Wars, so I was happy when they went away, but kind of like a little disappointed. I was hoping that Rian Johnson, you know, at least would get a movie. Maybe not a trilogy, but another movie, but we'll see. I don't think it's going to happen.
Here's the thing with Rian Johnson is, okay, we know, okay, I love The Last Jedi, okay? I still think The Last Jedi is, in the future, is going to be the one movie that people are like, you know what? I was a little too harsh on that. But my issue with Rian Johnson is, okay, yes, you have these people who 3 years on are still saying he ruined Star Wars. Stop answering these people. That's my problem, is he won't let it go either. It's true. Like, dude, let it go, move on.
Right.
You know, it's done. It's over with. You made a Star Wars movie. You made a radically different Star Wars movie than what people were expecting. Some of us loved it, like me. Others weren't that big on it, you know? Right. It's okay. Like with The Rise of Skywalker, I didn't like it. Other people did. That's okay. Like, let's move on from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He needs to just stop encouraging those kind of fans. And,
exactly.
You know, and a word to those fans, too. Just like you said, let it go. You didn't like it, let it go. But they won't, because they're those type of people. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but, yeah, he's... And I'm sorry, but anyone that says he ruined Star Wars and he's not a good director, he's not a good filmmaker, oh, please go watch Knives Out and tell me that's not... Well, I don't know. Did you either of you see Knives Out?
I did not.
I have not seen it.
You haven't seen it?
But I've seen Looper, and I love Looper, so...
See, I haven't seen that one.
I have seen, because I think, didn't he direct one or two episodes of Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad, yes, he did, yes.
I've seen Breaking Bad. Now, that is one that I will highly recommend to anyone, and especially if you like a good, like, really thrilling story. I mean, that is, you know, the pinnacle of that, but, I really like, what's that?
Well, I'm sorry, what were you recommending?
Oh, Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay. Well, I just started, like, a series that I've never seen before on Netflix, and there's, like, 15 seasons of it, so I'm going to be busy for a while.
Oh, jeez. Is it Supernatural?
Yes, it is.
Ah, okay.
I got me hooked. I mean, first episode, 10 minutes in, I was hooked.
Well, you know what? You're in for some highs and some lows, I'll say that.
I've already experienced some lows, and I'm halfway through season two.
Yeah, like season one had some pretty bad episodes, but like you won't really start getting into the bad episodes, like really bad episodes, till like season six and seven. I know we want to get back to Mandalorian and stuff, but I'll say this with, you know, The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, because I will admit I'm guilty of this. Okay, is the reason why I think people didn't like The Last Jedi is because they had questions from The Force Awakens that the answers given in The Last Jedi were not the answers they expected. They sat for 3 years with, okay, well, this is going to be like this, and this is going to be like this, and this is going to be like this. And when the pieces weren't moved into the places where they thought, they were like, this is the worst movie ever. Yep. Now, on the other hand, people who didn't like The Rise of Skywalker, like I said, I'm guilty of this, had questions and expectations of where things were going to go after things were set up in The Last Jedi, and they didn't go the way that I wanted them to, and I'm I was upset. Granted, I'm not saying, like, you know, it ruined Star Wars for me, blah, 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 you know, but it's just, it's...
Right.
That's what I think the big issue is.
But that's like everybody. Everybody's guilty of that. I don't care who you are. If you have a certain way you think it's going to go and it doesn't go that way, sure, you're going to feel a little bit upset. But some people just took it to the extreme and just really, that's when, I think after The Last Jedi is when the toxic fandom really started ramping up.
Well, you know, it's always been there.
It's always been, but
it's just now with social media, the platform, you know, it's readily available. It's simple to just type a few words, hit a button, and within a millisecond have your opinion up on that platform.
Yeah. And I know for some people, I remember going to see, probably the last time, I was able to see The Last Jedi in theaters twice. The second time I went, it was with a couple of my friends, and my one friend seriously, literally got up and walked out of the theater after Luke tossed the lightsaber. Never came back in. He actually sat out in the lobby and waited for us.
That's nuts.
And I was like, when we got out there, we were like, dude, what is your problem? And he was like, that's not Luke Skywalker. He would have never done that. And I was like, done what? And he was like, toss the lightsaber away like that. I was like, dude, he lost his faith. I said, you should have stayed. And he was like, no. He goes, that's not Luke to me. He goes, I'm done. And that was the last Star Wars movie you ever saw. So I was like, all right, whatever. That was you. But it wasn't me.
Yeah. That.
Well, then he should watch The Mandalorian, because that is, a lot of people are saying that's the Luke Skywalker that they wanted.
Exactly. I texted him and I said, now's the time for you to freaking shell out the $6 and get Disney Plus.
See, wasn't that a nice little way I got us back to Mandalorian?
There you go. I said, go ahead, show out your $6 and watch seasons 1 and 2 of The Mandalorian. And I said, and I guarantee after you watch the end of season 2, you'll be texting me back going, okay, I like this. Because, like I've said all along, Star Wars is a big freaking universe. There's so much there now, and there is going to be so much there. You can pick and choose what you like and what you want to watch over and over again. You won't have to watch the stuff you didn't like. So.
Yeah.
For sure. And speaking of stuff that I did like, do you guys think that Grogu will be back in The Mandalorian? Not necessarily in season 3, but just at all.
I mean, here's the thing. That cash cow, he's got to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Come
like,
on, Nick.
I'm laying on my bed right now with my brand new Grogu blanket that my mom and my brother got me as an early Christmas present. I mean, it's like, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm turning around looking at my little, well, not exactly little, but I don't know. It's the Grogu plush that came out maybe less than a year ago. And my wife gave me that for an early Christmas present. He's sitting over on my couch.
Yeah, so. He'll be back. I'm not sure. Maybe we won't see him for the majority of season 3, but I think he'll be back.
Yeah, you have to bring him back.
For sure. So that is something to look forward to. And that's something that I think a lot of fans will be. That's probably going to be, you know, a trending hashtag. You know, like, hashtag where's Grogu for, you know, maybe the majority of season 3. But I think
Ben doesn't lie. Din said he would see him again.
Yep.
So, Mandalorian doesn't lie.
That's true.
Because he said he'd come back for him, and he came back for him. Now he said he'll see him again, so he'll see him again.
Well, let me ask you guys this. When, like, a couple questions on it. Like, when they're on the bridge of that Star Destroyer and those dark troopers trying to get in, and you see that X-Wing, like, my mom and I looked at each other, and, like, I could tell from her look and she could tell from mine, it's like, there's no way that's Luke. You know, it's like, it can't be.
Okay.
And then when they like when they're looking at the monitor. It was clever from them to do this to, you couldn't tell the color of the lightsaber on the monitor.
Right.
And then when, like, you see the green blade, and I'm like, okay, okay, okay. When I knew it was Luke, I saw that hilt. I lost my mind. I don't know. Did you guys think it was Luke, or did you think it was Ezra? Did you think it was, you know, like Quinlan Voss, or, you know, somebody else?
You want to go first, Tristan? Because we did talk about this the other night.
Yeah, we did. So whenever I saw the X-Wing come in, and before I even saw a lightsaber, you know, get pulled out or anything or get used, I thought it was Ahsoka.
That would have been a good one.
I thought that it was Ahsoka coming back. She realized that maybe no one was going to come for Grogu, and that she sensed that, you know, they were in danger, so that, you know, she just decided to bail them out and maybe, you know, who knows, just go from there, really. But as soon as I saw, you know, one lightsaber being used instead of two, I just had a hunch that that was Luke Skywalker. And then, sure enough, like, the next scene, we saw the green blade, and there was no doubt in my mind that that was Luke. That,
yeah, well, for me, I was like you and your mom, Jason. I was unfortunately, my wife wasn't feeling good that night, and usually we watched every episode so far, season mm-hmm. two, together, and she was able to see my initial reactions to everything. Unfortunately, she wasn't sitting with me this time, it was just me. Mm. And when I saw the X-Wing, I was like, at first, I was joking to myself. I'm like, oh, here comes Floney to save the day. So, and then I'm like, but where are the other X-Wings? I thought it would be like a squadron flying. So I'm like, okay. And I was like, nah, couldn't be. And then we see through the monitor, the cloaked figure walking. And I'm sitting there, I'm actually saying to myself, going, oh my God, it's Luke. It's freaking Luke. And then they go to the color shot, the live shot, saw the green blade, and that's when I really started freaking out. Saw the hill, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. And when I was able to watch with my wife, she finally got it when she saw, of all things, my wife, a casual Star Wars fan, to pick up on. She knew who it was after she saw the gloved hand.
Huh.
I was like, didn't even notice that. I was so concentrating on the lightsaber blade, I didn't even notice the glove. So she knew who it was right away. And then as he was working his way up, it was funny because she was telling me, she was like, so who'd they get to play young Luke? I'm like, just watch. Said, you want me to tell you things? Just watch. And that's what I was discussing with myself too. As he was walking, I'm like, oh my God, but who's playing him? So then when he took down his hood and she saw it was Mark Hamill, she was like, oh my God, how'd they get him to look so young? And I was like, the de-aging technology? And she was like, oh my God. And I was like, yeah. I said, surprise me too. So I really thought they would get, you know, actually hire an actor to play Luke, especially if they're going to do anything with the young Luke Skywalker in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I liked how they, you know, how this series has tied in all three eras of Star mm-hmm. Wars. You know, it's tied in the clone, you know, the clone era, the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy. It's like everything is like under like the Mandalorian umbrella, and I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
And but like, please tell me, like, did you guys get Rogue One flashbacks with the elevator and Luke coming out of the elevator with just igniting that lightsaber? And I was like, oh my God, it's like Rogue One with Vader.
The smoke when he walked in on the bridge, the smoke. I was like, yes. I was like, that's awesome.
I'm honestly surprised nobody has like synced up the audio with that scene from Rogue One, you know, like,
oh, I'm pretty sure there will be.
I'm sure there will be too. I'm surprised they haven't done it yet. But
yeah,
I'd really like to see those, you know, play out side by side.
Yeah, I saw a meme already this morning saying, like, father like son, with Vader standing there in the smoke with his lightsaber ignited and Luke standing there in the smoke with his ignited side by side, and it just said, like, father like son. So I'm pretty sure eventually they'll sync it up where you'll see both hallway scenes synced up next to each other.
Yep. It was just a really nice, you know, touch of just them mirroring each other. I just thought it was a really nice touch by, you know, Filoni or Favreau, whoever wanted to make that shot. It was really good.
And that's another thing, too. I have been saying this for years. Like, he always never, like, I never go, oh, I regret saying that. Is I seriously think Dave Filoni should be like the Kevin Feige of Star Wars. Is everything should go through him. Like, because George hand-selected him. He worked side-by-side with him for years. I mean, he killed it with the Clone Wars with Rebels. And, I mean, and now him and Favreau, like, you know, like master and apprentice, you know what I mean? It's like you couldn't ask for two better minds to create a show like this, because you have Filoni and his, you know, I don't know if you guys, did you guys watch that gallery show with the behind the scenes stuff?
Yes, for season one, I know.
Yes.
Two starts on Chris.
Yeah, just listening to Filoni talk about Star Wars, it's like, I said it to my mom, because when he was talking about how everything goes back to that duel with Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul, how everything from that moment on, you know, dictates what happens in the entire saga. It's, I said to my mom, I was like, he watches these movies way differently than I do. He looks at it like with a philosophical eye, and it's just like he gets it. And, you know, like the cast and the crew, they talk about, they're like, he, like anything, any question we have with Star Wars, we just go to Dave, because he, like, it's like, you know, we're supposed to do it. It's like, well, let's ask Dave, because he knows. And, and then you have, because it's like he said, he wasn't comfortable doing live action, because all he knew was animation. And that's what, you know, why Jon Favreau is great, because he, you know, does those big blockbuster action movies and stuff. And it's just having those two just put their heads together. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better duo, in my opinion.
Yeah. So it's WWDD. What would Dave do? So, yeah. Him and Filoni, keep them working together as long as you guys can, because so far, I don't think they really hit the, what do you call it, the wall yet, where...
They're almost like the new... Yeah, like the Lucas and Spielberg, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how they collaborated with Indiana Jones movies and stuff is you have these two, like, they're geniuses. Look with a character that they just created out of nowhere, you know, and how they've tied every, like, everything is just tied together so perfectly. It's amazing. And it's, I've said this too, is, and it seems like Disney, Lucasfilm are realizing this, is, you know, it's great having these Star Wars movies and stuff, but as they've said, like, they noticed, like, a downtrend on box office and with the reception to these movies, is, I said it is, after watching The Mandalorian and The Clone Wars and stuff, is the future of Star Wars is TV.
Yeah.
It's because you can tell a bigger, broader, grander story in 8 episodes of a television series than you can in a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah, and I think they're just right this time with... When is Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron coming out?
2020? I have no idea.
22, I think?
22 or 23?
Well, yeah, that sounds about...
Yeah, see? That's perfect, man. Make... It'll be what? Rise of Skywalker was 2019. Yeah, it's about, what? 4 years? Wait... Between movies, we used to wait 3 years between movies, so this is just perfect. Give that time to, like, let Star Wars just, like, seep back into the woodwork for most fans, for, like, the casual fans, and then all of a sudden spring this on them, and it might do great at the box office. We don't know, but not until we first see that first trailer and actually get a synopsis on what the movie's going to be about, other than a Rogue Squadron. That's all we know. So, but yeah, I think they're doing it right this time. Make it like a 3 to 4 year wait between movies. Well, theatrical movies.
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely support a like gap in the theatrical releases. Because as much as like fun as it is to go to like a Marvel movie or two every year, at the same time, I think that the movies mean more whenever you do wait and you use them more sparingly. So I definitely think that gap can create a lot of hype, and it just makes that movie going experience that much more special. When it's just once every few years.
Yeah, you just said it all. Plus the build up, the hype. That's what's fun. That's the fun.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you guys remember back to 2015, how extreme the hype was for The Force Awakens.
I've never seen
like that before.
Yeah. That's what I missed.
And honestly, I at this point, I don't think we'll see that hype again, truthfully.
Probably not.
Especially with Star Wars. Yeah. I mean, yeah, with a Star Wars movie, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yep. It's all, and who knows? Hopefully by the year that Rogue Squadron rolls out, I will have actually, you know, gotten ourselves out of debt enough that I could actually make it to a celebration, and that'll be the celebration right before Rogue One or Rogue Squadron. Who knows?
Well, let's hope that we can actually, you know, be in a room with people for one. Let's hope movie theater is still actually a thing when that movie comes out. I don't think movie theaters are going to be around much longer. But it's like my mom and I were talking, is it seems like everything, like, it's always like cyclical with these things. I think what you're going to start seeing again is like a resurgent in drive-in theaters. I think you're going to see more of. Because a lot of people aren't going to want to go sit in a packed theater with 150 people, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It will take a while, because I was just watching, now I forget what I was watching. They were talking about getting back to normal. I don't think there's going to be such thing as normal again.
No.
And it's going to take a while for people to go, you know what, I feel cool sitting next to all these people watching a movie. It's going to take a long time for that to come back.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Like, in August, I was, I saw, because AMC had where you could get a ticket for 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw they were playing Empire Strikes Back. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go. Like, I know I have to wear a mask. I want to see how uncomfortable it is if I can sit there for 2 hours. Well, fortunately, I didn't have to pay for anything because I had, like, a free popcorn and all that stuff. But, you know, it was all right, but it's not something I could see myself doing. Like, because, you know, during the summer is, you know, I'm at a theater. Like, I would be at a theater, like, once a week almost. Right. And I couldn't see myself doing that once a week. And it's like, you know, right now, it's like, especially now with things like how they're doing with Wonder Woman, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm basically seeing Wonder Woman for free on Christmas because my parents have HBO Max, and it's like, you know, if I don't have to leave my house to see this movie, I'm not going to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
and especially considering that if you look at the size of, you know, of like a 60-inch TV or whatever compared to the size of the room, you're basically seeing it on a movie theater size screen for the room. But, right. Who knows?
Unfortunately, I won't be able to get to see it because our governor shut down the movie theaters again.
Well, yeah, he did do that. Yeah.
And that was the only way I was going to see it. I was going to go to our local theater over here on, well, Christmas weekend with my wife. That was going to be our one Christmas present, was taking her to see the movie, and now I can't see it. And I already have what, 3 or 4 streaming services. I can't afford HBO Max just to watch one movie, because really there's
nothing, especially because they got rid of the free trial right after they announced that they were doing that.
Yeah, that's what ticks me off too. They, like, I was like, well, maybe we'll get the free trial to watch that, and then you know, if anything else comes on, do it again. But yeah. But yeah, I just guess I'm gonna wait for Blu-ray and go buy it on Blu-ray. So
yeah. For me, the thing that we're actually doing is we're seeing it on the 27th in the theaters.
Hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, we're seeing it in theaters, and that's something I'm actually really, really looking forward to. I mean, I cherish, you know, the movie-going experience. It was one of my favorite things to do pre-pandemic. Had been to, like, one film since, you know, the pandemic began, and that was actually in an empty theater. There was, like, one other, you know, person or one other party there besides, like, the friends that I went with, and they were on the opposite side of the theater. So it was, you know, sort of the same.
Like that's the thing is I like this year, this is since I've been going to the movies since I could like drive and stuff, this is the least amount of movies I've seen in the theater this year, and one of the movies I've seen 1,000 times, you know, Empire Strikes Back. I saw three movies in the theater this year. I saw 1917, the Impractical Jokers movie, and then the Empire Strikes Back, and that is it.
Well, I got y'all beat. I saw one. I saw Birds of Prey. That was it.
Yep. Because until I went to that one movie, I'm trying to remember the name of it now. It was an okay movie. I just totally forgot the name of it. But it was more of just to go to a movie than it was to actually see it, if you know what I mean.
Well, that was part of the reason why I wanted to go see The Empire Strikes Back, is I was just tired of not being able to go do anything.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, I just wanted to get out of the house, you know?
Yep.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, the only other two movies I had watched were Birds of Prey and the Sonic movie.
Okay.
And then that was it. And then the pandemic hit, and I was like, oh, well, what if Sonic the Hedgehog was the last movie I ever saw in theaters? I started having those thoughts, and thankfully it wasn't. Yeah.
I think I would be happy with if this is it for theaters. I think I would be happy with the last movie I saw. I was happy with Birds of Prey. But yeah, hopefully movie theaters don't go away, because if they do, even though I haven't worked at my part-time job for a long time, I'll lose my job. So
yeah. Yeah,
let me tell you, it's been hurting, because I've been missing that little bit of extra income this year.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I didn't qualify for unemployment, even though I was told I was going to, because other employees here at that theater are qualified. But I didn't. Oh well.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. I actually picked up a part-time job right before the pandemic began, in March. Like, so literally like a week before it all happened, I picked up a job at the local basketball arena, helping them, you know, change, you know, basketball courts to volleyball courts, setting up, you know, they do graduations in there, you know, just basically just being a stagehand. Flash forward now to December, and I think I've had a total of like 3 hours put in there.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's any comfort, but just know you're not the only one. I've just been doing any sort of part-time work. It's been hurting a lot, especially now in December, when all of my savings, you know, that I had saved up over the years have been just drained, just doing basic things, you know, for a full year without any source of, you know, good income outside. So
yeah, income over this.
Yep.
I'm just thankful I have a full-time job still. So, but like I said, we'll see how long it lasts where we're actually still physically going into the office before he makes it mandatory that everyone starts working from home. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Man, we will see. And it's just, it's unfortunate, you know, what it's done. And I would like to keep on going to the movies. I know that, it might just be a wishful thinking at this point, but Man, it, you know, to see Dune, for example, coming out here in, I think, about a year's time from now, maybe 10 months' time, you know, that range. That's a movie to me, like, that really is a must-see in the theaters. So to not see it in the theaters would really be disappointing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is what it is. You just deal with it and, I guess, just move on.
Right,
that's yeah. Been the time to get through 2020, just deal with whatever's thrown at me and just move on, get it done, and keep going.
Well, we don't have that much more to go in this new year, so. And like the joke Kristen Wiig made last night during her monologue on Saturday Night Live, she said, "And don't worry, people, because on January 1st, everything goes back to exact normal."
Yeah.
And then, of course, she had the joke with someone off stage, and she was like, "What's that? It doesn't? Oh, it doesn't work like that? Okay." So, yeah.
Yeah. I saw a tweet. It just said, "You thought, you know, 2020 was bad? Just wait till it turns 21 and starts drinking."
Yeah, I saw that too.
I was like, "Oh no, don't give me those thoughts." Please let me at least hope that 2021 will be a step in the right direction.
My hope.
So, oh man, at least we've gotten really good things like The Mandalorian to tide us over this year.
Yes. And all those other series they announced, you know.
Yep, that was exciting.
We're talking about build up for theatrical movies. Just think about the build up to those series. I'm pretty sure they're going to, you know, hype those up too to get us all excited. Start showing us as they start filming, they're going to start showing us footage. And if not, there'll be leaked footage. So,
that was kind of my only thing with The Mandalorian that was kind of disappointing is that, you know, the Bo-Katan and Ahsoka leaks coming out.
Yeah,
we know, were that kind of like disappointed me a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if we had no idea that they would be in the show, and then they just were.
I would.
And they're given episode.
I would have freaked out more than I did.
Yeah, I mean, I freaked out anyway. But I mean, like, could you imagine if they were like, "Yeah, hey, Luke Skywalker's in the finale"? I'd be like, "What?" You know?
Yeah.
And I was commending Mark Hamill for not letting that spill on Twitter as much as he likes to tweet out stuff. I would have been so freaking happy. If I was in any Star Wars, I would have been breaking my NDA real quick because I'd be so excited. I'd be letting everybody know. So,
okay, I do have one other question for you guys. Mando took his helmet off, and I'm gonna start, and Grogu reached his little hand up and touched his face. I'm gonna say I cried. I don't know if you guys did.
I don't know if it was full on crying, but it was a heavy moment nonetheless.
Because as I said to my mom, I was like, "We're crying over a puppet." And I said, "Well, you know what?" I said, "He's not a puppet to us. You know, he's real to us, you know?"
Yeah. I mean, that's the point.
I'll just say this. Niagara Falls, Frankie Angel. Niagara. Yeah. And I can follow it up with, "I'm not crying. You're crying." So, yeah.
And you know what? It's like, I'm like, yeah, I was crying. And anytime I talk about it, I start to well up. I'm like, "Oh God, it was so sad," you know?
I've seen it now. I've watched it 4 times and still, I can't help myself.
I said it was a gut punch, but the one thing that would have really like just torn my heart out is if he gave him the shifter knob. I would have been like, "Oh my God," you know.
I would have lost. Yeah. I'd be like, "Here's your toy."
Like, "Oh my God."
I was the 4th time I watched it, I was actually sitting on my couch with my little Grogu plushie, like hugging him like to my stomach. I'm like holding on to him. I'm like, "No, Luke, you can't have mine."
But. Yeah. It was a really heavy moment, and a really important moment too for Mandalorian. You know, like it shows maybe that he's kind of not like done with, you know, the Mandalorian thing, but he's kind of rejected maybe the orthodox, you know, religion.
Well, it's like I said to my mom, I was like, you know, with him being more willing to even take the armor off, like in that one episode, because, you know, Bill Burr said it. He's like, he goes, boy, this kid must, like, because he said something like, you know, this kid must be really important or whatever. Is,
yep.
As much as Grogu grew with the Mandalorian, Mando grew with Grogu by, yep, you know, being more comfortable taking his helmet off around people, you know, yep, and it just, it shows, like, a character growth, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
I think it also, the episode where he met Bo-Katan, and he flipped out when she took his helmet off, and he was like, where'd you get that armor?
Like, you ain't Mando.
Assuming she wasn't Mandalorian, and she was like, oh, you're one of them, you know?
Yeah, you're a child of the Watch.
And
yeah, yep.
And he, I think it also clicked with him, like, oh my god, because he was brought up in the clan that's the armorer, you know.
Yeah, Death Watch. Yeah,
she was like a, you know, mother to him. So maybe he starts thinking, maybe she didn't tell me everything, that there are Mandalorians that don't, you know, believe in the whole helmet thing and this and that. So, and plus he did it. He took it off because he wanted Grogu to see his face. He wanted Grogu to see the face of his father. So it's like, remember this face. So, yeah.
So good. Like, just good storytelling.
Yeah. And, oh my god. And even when he put him on the ground for him to walk over to Luke. Mm-hmm. And he grabbed his leg and didn't want to walk right away. I'm like, oh my god, stop. So, yeah, I thought it was going to be one of those moments you see in a movie cliche where, you know, you gotta start yelling at him like you don't want him around anymore, make you think that they hate, make them hate you, so they'll leave.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was just like, ugh. But, yeah, then, oh, Then we get maybe one of the most iconic Star Wars characters too. We had R2-D2.
Well, I mean, come on, that stands to reason. Luke was there in his X-wing.
But I mean, you know what? That never dawned on me. When he came out from behind him, I was like, "Oh my god! Of course, he was in the X-wing."
Well, you know what R2 was thinking? Oh, great, another one of these. You know? Yeah.
Hey, dude. Better not try to take my flashlight this time. And do not hit me with a stick. So, yeah. That's what he was probably thinking, like, oh my god, there's more of them? So, yeah, but that seeing R2 there was awesome. And, yeah, before R2 shut himself off from the world. But, yeah. It was just an awesome way to end the season. And like I said, now I'm thinking, ever since you said that, Jason, about people thinking that season 3 was going to be like subtitled The Book of Boba Fett, I'm like, watch that freaking be true now.
No way.
I hope not, but I'm starting to think in the back of my mind, if they do that, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, they're not going to. They're smart enough to realize Mando is their golden, you know, their, what is it, golden goose or whatever it is.
Yeah. This is their flagship show. This is Disney Plus's flagship show. So, and I'm not sure. Heck, I wouldn't even know who would you consider the flagship show of Netflix? Like, what series got everyone to start subscribing to Netflix?
I don't watch it enough to.
Yes, if I would say it's Stranger Things is what got me to get Netflix. So
yeah, and I'm sure there are absolutely a lot of people that hopped on for shows like Stranger Things, but I think with it being really truly like the first of its kind and being the kind of revolutionary thing, people were just kind of onto it as to what it was rather than maybe what it had like originals. Like now, of course, they have to compete for with their originals and everything.
Yeah, but that's what it is.
My family didn't ever get Netflix for a show. We got it because we could watch many shows and True. Stream
Oh,
them.
You know what? You want to know what? Like, the reason why I got Netflix, it all comes back to Star Wars, is season 6 of the Clone Wars.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, that's what's got me to get Netflix.
Even when they announced that Clone Wars was going to be on Netflix, that wasn't enough to hook me because I already had all of them. I had them on DVD. So I was like, I don't need it for that. Yeah, I just recently, how long ago did the first season of Stranger Things came out? That's when we first got it. So we've only had it for, I would say, three years at least.
Yeah. So,
yeah, before that, there was nothing on there that enticed me. And then I heard, I think it was the podcast Techno Retro Dads that I first heard about Stranger Things on. And I was like, oh my God, that's right up my alley. I was a kid then too. So that's what got me to get that, just to check it out.
Cool.
Yeah. But...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah, I think like a lot of things, for me at least, whenever I go to get a streaming service or consider it, of course I always look as to what, like, if there's any specific shows I'm wanting, if they're on there, but also just the selection. I want to choose a streaming service that's gonna offer me like a good selection of things that I like, not necessarily like originals to that platform, but just like something that I think is worth my money, if that makes sense.
True. Yeah, that's what I did with HBO Max. I looked at it and I was like, you know what? Not for that price, not for $15 a month. No way.
Yeah. So, I started watching an HBO show called Barry, which was actually really, really good.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, it is fantastic. It really is. But that's like the only HBO show that I, have any interest in watching currently. And I'm gonna go see Wonder Woman in theaters, so yeah, it's $15 a month for one show. Good.
Yeah, that's what we had to do, because all these streaming services now, like, what is it called, Apple Plus or whatever,
Apple TV.
Yeah,
Apple TV Plus maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, nope, don't need that one either. But there will be, people, especially at my office, will go, are you watching such and such? I'm like, no, I don't have that streaming service. Oh my God, how can you not watch this? Because I don't have the streaming service. That's how. I just told you. But
I wish I had something that would grow on trees and I could pluck it, whenever. Whenever I wanted, a streaming service or something. But
right.
Especially in 2020, that's definitely not the case for me.
Right. Yep, hopefully, sometime I'll be able to afford a couple more, but not without dropping some right now. And right now, the ones I have, I kind of like, so.
Yep.
Well, I hate to end this conversation because I'm having a good time talking to you guys, but I gotta go.
Thank you guys and girls so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it, and we had a great time chatting with you again, Jason. Thanks for coming back on.
Oh, it's like I said, I messaged you guys, and I was like, please tell me you're talking about this. I had hoped you hadn't recorded yet, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, anytime you feel like hopping back on and chatting, we'd love to have you. So thanks for coming back, and with that, we will sign off. Until next week, I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Jason. Woo!
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
That's not how the Force works. Yeah.
Give the evacuation code signal.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
Life is about passions.
Thank you for sharing ours.
This has been the CantoCast.
May the Force be with you.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.
Go.